It is such a joy to be with you and a great honor. Happiest years of my life were here at Seminary Wives every Wednesday night, and I know you all feel the same way, and so look forward to your time of fellowship. I learned so much from the ladies that taught through the years, and I hope tonight will be a blessing to you. I want to talk tonight about a topic I don't think we talk too much about, and that is respecting your husband. I think we sufficiently cover submission through the years, and that's a beautiful doctrine. But I really want to zero in on respect and the importance of learning to respect our husbands. Listen to this extreme example of disrespect. The story is told of a man named Joe that was 90 years old and dying. All of his adult children were gathered around his bed, and suddenly he smelled the aroma of his wife's apple strudel baking in the oven. So Joe asked his daughter, "Mary, please bring me some of that apple strudel. I've been married to your mother for 70 years, and she has been such a woman." So Mary left and returned without the strudel. Old Joe asked on his deathbed, "Mary, where's the strudel?" And Mary answered, "Mom says you cannot have any because it's for after your funeral." I hate that story, but it shows the extreme example of disrespect that we see even in our society today. I know you would never be that way towards your husband, but it is true that our men can sometimes be overlooked, and sometimes we can show interest, love, and respect to everyone and forget about our husbands. The Bible mentions respect in so many different relationships we have in life. Exodus 20, verse 12, and Matthew 19, 19, tell children to honor and respect their parents. We know we're called to respect government authorities, Romans 13, verse 1. We're called to respect and honor our elders in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, as they labor and teach the word of God to us. And in actuality, 1 Peter 2, 17 says we are to honor and respect everyone and consider everyone as more important than ourselves. So this talk tonight is going to be very practical, very heavy on some practical thoughts. My prayer is that the Lord might show you an area or two where you've not been respectful to your husband, and perhaps you can just pray about that and focus on that and bring one or two thoughts home with you. We learned that Ephesians 5:33 is our key verse. Let the wives see to it that they respect their husbands. Now, would you agree with me, just coming through a difficult political season, that we live in a very disrespectful society? I think we do, because everyone seems to be out for his self. Just like submission, respect is not a feeling. It is a mindset, and it's honoring God and his plan for marriage when we respect and honor our husbands. Now, we know that man is created in the image of God. Do any of you know what that term is? Imago Dei. Very good. And I love this quote by Wayne Grudem. He says, "Every single human being, no matter how much the image of God has been marred by sin or illness or weakness or age or any disability, still has the status of being made in God's image, and therefore must be treated with the dignity and respect that is due to God's image bearer." So when I am tempted to show disrespect to anyone, especially my husband, I remember this term, Imago Dei. He is created in God's image, and for no other reason, he is worthy of respect. This means having a high view of him and his position. Now, in Ephesians 5, this word respect means godly fear, holding in high esteem, having awe. And this is coupled with the great love that we have for our husbands. Respect is not based on his worthiness or even his actions, but our respect is based on their position and our obedience to God. I'm going to repeat that because this is such a key thought, ladies. We don't respect our husbands because of their worthiness, their actions, their decisions. We respect our husbands because of the position God has placed them in and our obedience to God. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter 3 that a respectful attitude from the wife can be influential in drawing an unsaved husband to faith in Christ. That passage says, even if some disobey the Christian message, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live. So we can be thankful that God has placed our husbands in charge of the home. What a huge responsibility. So many times I think we need to learn to put off discontentment and critical spirits. Sometimes we think we're being helpers, right? That can cross over into a critical spirit. And we can be guilty sometimes of tearing our husbands down instead of actively building them up. So respect is an attitude, but it's something we need to verbally communicate to our husbands as well. Where do you think this all begins? Like everything else, respect begins in our thought life towards our husbands, before it comes to our heart and comes out in the words we say to him. So respect is going to start in our thought life. Respect includes being courteous with our tongue, having good manners. How many of you are young moms at home with children throughout the day? Probably have a lot of young moms with young children. So when I was at that stage of life, I remember throughout the day managing children all day, trying to get them to do what I wanted them to do, to get them obey, and just telling them how to do everything. And then what happens when your husband comes home at 5 o'clock? You start wanting to manage him and telling him how to do everything and what to do and where to go. So we have to make that disconnect between being a parent to our children and respecting our husbands. What is our tone of voice? What is our body language when we communicate to our husbands? If you're like me, you probably desire to grow in using kind words in how you communicate with him. Proverbs 16:21 says, "Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." So when we respect our husbands, we are preferring him above all other relationships. Your children, time with your friends, your extended family, and he's more important than your home and all the activities you're involved in, even ministry. Now, we know our husbands are not going to be perfect. So again, this respect is not based on their behavior or decisions that they're making. It is the God-given role assigned to him. And our job is to build him up and to show respect. We can show words of respect verbally. We can show and share notes with him when he's traveling. But we'll talk a little bit more about that on appreciation. But I want you to start thinking specifically as you go home tonight. What are some things I can communicate to my husband that show him that I do respect him? Now, we know that men and women are different, right? Maybe he's not as sensitive as you would like. Maybe he doesn't communicate as well as you would like. But you can find something to respect in your husband, even if it's the fact that he works hard to support your family and he takes you to a great Bible teaching church. Start there and build from that point. You can find something if you think and pray hard enough. I think as women, sometimes we can have huge and unrealistic expectations of how we want our husbands to be the spiritual leaders of our home. All of you are married to men that love the Lord and are seeking to serve him in ministry. But we can still have expectations of what we think spiritual leadership should look like in our home. Maybe it's not realistic. First of all, we need to really focus on what God calls us to be, praying for him, and realizing his leadership may look different than what you expected. When my daughters were going to the Master's University, there was a mindset amongst the young gals there that my daughters told me about, and they were probably guilty of it themselves. They, in their young 20s, were looking for a guy with the spiritual maturity of a John MacArthur. And I hated to break it to even my daughters, but that takes a lifetime to get to that level of spiritual maturity. So sometimes we have huge expectations at a young age of how our men should lead. And I want to encourage you, if you think that you are married to a quiet man, don't think that means that is not strong spiritual leadership. Because many times when those quiet men speak, people listen. So don't assume that a spiritual leader has to be this dynamic personality. It could be more of the quiet man that people respect, and that is just fine. So praise him for any godly qualities you already see in him and how he's growing. And seminary has a wonderful way of growing not only us, but our husbands in their faith and walk with the Lord. I remember years ago, 46 years ago, Ray and I were engaged, and I made a list of all the qualities I so appreciated and respected about him. But as the years pass, it's very easy to forget our husband's strengths and start focusing on the weaknesses. We can take him for granted. We can become critical. We can want to start changing him and fixing him so he's more like us. I remember years ago, and you may have heard this because Karen Busnitz told me this story, so it may have been shared with you already, but have you heard the story of the young bride on the most important day of her life, her wedding day? The aisle is beautifully decorated with flowers. The groom is waiting at the altar to welcome his bride, and the congregation sings a beautiful hymn. But it doesn't take long after those vows are exchanged that her mindset can change to aisle, altar, hymn. And that can really happen as the years go by. It's sad, but it's so true. We get into the changing process of trying to fix our husbands. Many times we do make the children a priority, and it is true that we are with our children more hours in the day than with our husbands. Children are a great gift from the Lord, but so are our husbands. And when our husband comes home after a long day at seminary and work and ministry, we can forget that he is our top priority. One thing I really want to encourage you moms to remember, as much as you love your children, you are not in a covenant relationship with those children. They are a sweet blessing from the Lord. You are raising them prayerfully to serve the Lord and to love him. But there's one human being that you are in a covenant relationship with, and that is your husband, not the children. So keep that in mind when it seems overwhelming. He is number one. So ask yourself this question: how much do you think you reverence your husband? Right now, at this moment, if the President of the United States came into this room, you would stand, you would show honor and respect to him, even if you disagree with his politics. It's the position that we respect. Many times we must show honor to our husbands simply because he is in the role God has ordained for him. Now, do you tend to grumble or complain about your husband to other people? Do you grumble to him or even in your thought life? Remember, those respectful actions and words are going to begin in your thoughts. So check those thoughts if they're not respectful. Philippians 4:8 tells us to think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. So dwell on those things. There are plenty of negative things to find in your husband. And you know what? There are plenty of negative things he could find in you as well. So make a choice to focus on the positives and how he's growing in the Lord. So if you're taking notes, I'm going to fly through some of these practical ways you can grow in your respect quotient. And let me tell you, ladies, I am a learner right along with you. Ray and I have been married 45 years, and I'm so thankful for the Lord giving him to me, but I still need to grow in this respect quotient because you face different challenges throughout different seasons of life. But here's just some practical things that can help you to grow. First of all, choose joy. Choose joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. In all things rejoice, even in respecting your husband. Make it a point to be a joyful wife. That's a way that you can bless and honor him. Don't use moodiness to try to manipulate your man, because a happy wife makes a happy life. So remember that. Choose to be a joyful wife. Secondly, honor his wishes. Honor his wishes. Philippians 2:4. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also the interests of others. Give weight to what your husband thinks is an important thing to him and make that a priority. For example, if your husband comes home very hungry and likes to have dinner ready, do the best you can to have dinner ready for his arrival. Or maybe he needs an errand done. Try to do that first thing in your day, putting it at the top of your to-do list. Big thing in our family, coming from a military family, was having our house somewhat tidy and clean when Daddy got home. So just try not to have him ask twice to have something done. Make it a priority and put it at the top of your list, whatever is important to him. 3, give him your undivided attention. This will show respect when you give him undivided attention. You know, women are really good at multitasking. We can do a lot of things at once, but sometimes we need to put down our project, focus on our husbands, and really listen when he does want to talk. So give him that undivided attention. When Ray would come home from a long day at seminary, I would often just give him a head massage. If you want to try this, you can. But my husband would open up at that time because he would relax. I'd hear about his day at seminary. Try giving your husband a little head massage at the end of the day. He will love you for that. And it's one way to show respect. 4, try to not interrupt. Do not interrupt. You may know what your husband's trying to say, but let him speak for himself, because cutting him off or filling in his comments can show a lack of respect. 5, try to not nag. I'm sure as Christian women, you never find yourself nagging. But he is a grown man. He's not a child. Leave room for God to work in his life. You are not the Holy Spirit. Ray would remind me about that also. Now, John Piper has a great quote which says, "Nagging is excessive exhortation." So we don't want to go down that path. Don't nag. 6, be thankful. Be thankful. Ladies, there are so many women I know, and you do too, that would love to be sitting at church next to a godly husband, and it's not their experience. So be thankful that he is a man of God, that he loves God's word, that he cares about God's church. Be thankful for that. Cultivate that attitude of gratitude and show appreciation for all he does. You know, for those of us in the room tonight that have been married many years, and you see this yourself in your own life, a certain familiarity can set in after a number of years where maybe you don't practice those good manners anymore. Maybe you don't say thank you or please or show kindness like we do to others. I want to encourage you just to say thank you. Just tell your husband thank you for all he's doing and his love for you. Ephesians 5:20 reminds us to always give thanks in all things. 7, have eyes only for him. Have eyes only for him. Be careful to not compare your man to another. Be careful of books or movies you watch and read. They can have a big impact in our thought life. They can even cause us to stumble and perhaps become discontent. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." So let's talk a little bit about what the culture promotes in manhood. Let's talk about those chick flicks on Hallmark for just a minute, shall we? Now, I like a good Hallmark movie as much as anyone, especially at Christmas time. But let's be realistic. Do you think there are men out there that are beautiful, that that own a coffee shop and make their own scones? I've never seen that man. So I'm sorry, it's just not realistic. But you can have fun with it. I also love Jane Austen. How many like Jane Austen novels? Okay, let's talk about Mr. Darcy. Mr. Darcy is the epitome, right? There's no evidence that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ in those novels. So we don't even have to elevate Mr. Darcy. But I do remember Nathan Boosnitz said once that comparison will kill contentment. Isn't that a good quote? Comparison kills contentment. So don't compare, and be careful what you watch and read. Now, I don't want to be legalistic here, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes you might know of someone in the church that seems to have it all together. She has a perfect husband. Her kids obey the first time she asks them to obey. She lives in a gorgeous home, money in the bank. And you're looking in from the outside and you think, man, she's got the easy life. I wish I had that. But ladies, you don't always know what's going on behind closed doors. We make judgments on the little bit that we see, but you just don't always know. So be thankful, don't compare, and be careful what you watch or read. Number 8, if you can, prepare his favorite foods. Prepare his favorite foods. That's just a simple way. You could ask him what he likes the best, and it shows respect when you honor his wishes. So give some consideration to your husband's preferences. Number 9, cherish togetherness. Cherish that togetherness time. If you can, sit near him at home or away and show interest in what he talks about. Just cherish that time you have together. Number 10, don't complain. Don't be that grumbler or complainer. Philippians 2:14 tells us to do all things without grumbling. And remember the Serenity Prayer that says, accept the things you cannot change, change the things that you can, and seek wisdom to know the difference. Begin with your own heart and make that change. Number 11, another practical thing you can do is just dress to please him. You can also ask him how he likes you to dress. What style does he like? Take care of your appearance. And if at all possible, ladies, before he comes home at the end of the day, if he can do a little touch-up or a little maintenance, a little spray of perfume, a little touch of makeup, especially if you're home with the children, I know you're so tired, but just freshen up a little bit if you can. That shows him that you are thinking of him, and that shows respect. Number 12, do the best you can to keep your house tidy and orderly. Try to keep your house tidy and orderly. For a seminary man, having a haven of rest to come home to is huge. Proverbs 31:27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household. So step back at 4:45 and take a look. What's the overall mood of your home? Is it total disaster? And I know we all have some days like that, but hopefully that's not the pattern of your home. Is there some order to your home to welcome your husband back? And you know, the children can really help with this. You don't have to do it all yourself. Enlist those little troops because they are welcoming the king of the castle back home. So train those children to help you keeping the house tidy. 13, be content. Take satisfaction in the lifestyle he's able to provide for you. I remember days in seminary, money is really tight. Am I right? Finances can be really tight. You're living in an expensive part of the country. Your husband's trying to study as well as maybe having a part-time job or you're helping with work. Money can be very tight, and that is a stretch of our faith. We used to call it the invisible curriculum. Maybe they still call it that. The invisible curriculum that God is doing during the seminary years to train us and our husbands to trust and depend upon him. 1 Timothy 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, there are 4 little words I want you to try not to say. Sometimes someone in the church or in seminary or in your apartment might want to do something with you. Maybe it's going out to eat, going to a play, doing something that involves financial resources. And maybe it's a long time till payday. It's super easy for us as women to say, oh, sorry, we just can't go because we can't afford it. We can't afford it. I want you to try to not say those four words, because when our husbands hear that, we can't afford it, they're hearing some discontentment in our hearts. And our husbands so long to provide for us and bless us and do all they can to provide for us. And if they regularly hear, oh, sorry, we just can't go out to eat, we can't afford it, it's going to really hurt his sense of provision for you. So just be careful to not regularly say those words. It might be true. It could very well be true that you can't afford it. But think of a way to respond to that request without hurting your husband's feelings. Number 14, take his advice and don't dismiss his opinions lightly. He knows you the best, so really take his advice and respect his opinions. 15, forgive his shortcomings. Forgive his shortcomings. Ruth Graham said that a happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. And isn't that so true? We're continually forgiving. We're continually repenting in the Christian life. So don't allow that root of bitterness to take root in your heart because you're choosing to not forgive. Forgive freely, as Colossians 3:13 tells us to do. Forgive to the max as the Lord has forgiven us. 16, follow his lead. Follow his lead. Be a good follower. We know Ephesians 5:22 reminds us that the husband is the head of the wife. So much is talked about in the church about leadership, and leadership is very important. But we also need to learn to be good followers in life, and there are people we need to follow well. So just learn and grow as you follow your husband's lead. 17, avoid arguing. I know I'm flying through this because I want to get to appreciation in just a minute, but avoid arguing. You're going to have disagreements in marriage, but be careful of arguing because that can just lead to sinful anger. And I hate to break this to you ladies, but you are not always right, and neither am I. We don't always have to have the last word. So Proverbs 17:14 reminds us to abandon a quarrel before it breaks out. So that's a little bit about respect, our mindset, our thoughts. I want to talk now about going the next step, which is appreciation. And I think you might have that acrostic with your notes, with appreciation written down. I still want to grow in this area with you because I will think good thoughts about Ray, but how many times do I remember to actually tell him and verbalize appreciation? Sometimes, unintentionally, we may have created a home environment where our husbands feel threatened. Like they can do nothing right, that they can't please their wife, or sometimes they lose their desire to try. So if we really want to connect with our husbands, and if we want them to communicate well with us, we need to cultivate a haven of rest, security, and appreciation for them. So again, this will be somewhat quick. Do the best you can with notes. But letter A is admire and affirm. Admire and affirm him. Start with the basics. Tell your husband how much you appreciate him taking you to a good church, studying for seminary, loving the Lord, providing for you through a job. We are living in a day and age where almost half of marriages are ending in divorce. Our youngest daughter just experienced that. Have you ever thought to thank your husband for being faithful to you? It's easy to take for granted, isn't it? But admire and affirm him and appreciate him by telling him, honey, thank you for being faithful to me. affirm him often because they really need that affirmation. They can get beat up in the world. They're going to have some challenges in ministry, and they need to have a helper that will affirm them. So try to give one encouraging affirmation each day. Think of one thing you can share each day with him. Letter P, pray. This is the most important way you can love and show respect to your man. I encourage you to seek the Lord diligently, specifically, regularly for your husband. Talk to God more about your husband's weaknesses than you talk to your husband about his weaknesses. How can you encourage and be a source of motivation so that he can become the man of God that God wants him to be? Ruth Bell Graham again said, tell your mate the positive and tell God the negative. Isn't there wisdom in that? Tell your mate the positive, tell God the negative, and pray. Our next P is prepare. Prepare for your husband. Something the Lord has been convicting me of recently is before I even get out of bed in the morning and place those 2 feet on the floor to start the day, to stop and pray, to remember that my husband is my most important ministry for the day. How can I serve him? And Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I don't walk in the flesh. Start your day with a prayer. Prepare to guard your tongue. Prepare to speak encouraging words to motivate him. We know Proverbs tells us that death and power are in the life of the tongue. And then prepare for that re-entry time of the day when he comes home tired, physically, emotionally, maybe spiritually. And pray that, Lord, help me to make this switch now in my day so I can really focus on him, show respect and honor to him. Letter R, remember and recount. Remember and recount. Remember all the life memories that you share together, the dating years, the personal stories that only you and he understand together. Remind yourself of all the blessings you see in your husband and verbalize that thankfulness. So just remember the past. It helps us how we live in the present. Letter R, remember and recount. Did I just do that one? Okay, sorry. Letter E, I'm still in St. Louis time. By the way, I left 5 inches of snow, and I'm just loving your weather. That's all I have to say. I'm really missing this California sunshine. Don't take that for granted, because God may send you to a cold climate. Okay, let's move on to E, encourage leadership. Encourage his leadership. This may mean you'll have to step out of the way and give him room to lead. If you are a strong, dominant woman, and you think you've taken over the lead in some areas in your home, ask your husband's forgiveness and communicate your desire to him that you really want him to lead and you're learning to follow. Express your confidence in him. Things like, I know you can do this, honey. You're the best man for this job, and your leadership gives me security. So give him time to grow and step into this leadership role. Telling him what to do is often a common factor in the man withdrawing and becoming passive while you take over. So if you find that you've taken over in some aspects of your marriage, confess that to your husband and pull back and just encourage him to lead. I've been guilty of that. No matter how small the decision, commend your husband when he is decisive. You know, many times they make great decisions at work, even at seminary, at ministry, and they can feel inadequate to come home and make decisions and lead us as women, especially if we have that critical spirit. So if he makes the choice for what restaurant to go to for date night, let him make that choice. Years ago, we had a speaker at Seminary Wives, and I will never forget this story, Sheila Pennington, those of you that remember Sheila. She reminded us that our body language and tone of voice are influential in our husbands. She said, Tom, tonight's date night. Do you want to go to Claim Jumper or Sicily's? And you can imagine where they went that night. So our body language, our tone of voice can have a huge impact. So let him make some decisions and happily go along with it. Choose your conflicts carefully. Many times those daily trivialities can just blow up and become this really big thing when it started so small. Proverbs 17:27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man or woman of understanding." You know, sometimes our husbands have to make that final call in decision-making. And usually I think a husband and wife, for the most part, come to decisions together pretty well. You pray, you talk. There may be some times where he has to make that final decision, and you just don't think it's a good decision at all. You know what might be more important than the outcome of that decision? What might be more important is the Lord working in our hearts to cause us to trust God through our husband's final decision. That might be the greater lesson we need to learn than if our husband makes the best decision. So keep that in mind and live each day in light of life's momentary nature. So much of what we stress about really doesn't matter in the long run. So ask yourself this question: will this issue we're talking about really matter a month or a year from now? Do I really need to say what I'm thinking all the time? So encourage and think before you speak. Encourage any act of leadership. Letter C, communicate honestly with humility. Communicate honestly and with humility. Be sincere. Sometimes issues have to be discussed in marriage. If it's a pattern of sin, we have a responsibility as a child of God to bring that up to our spouse, but preface that with prayer and humility. That also means we need to humbly receive rebukes from our shepherd husband. The goal is always spiritual restoration, so we need to extend the same grace and forgiveness that we have received from the Lord, Ephesians 4. And we can depend upon the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. Once we bring things up to our husbands, pray about it and leave it to the Lord. Now, letter I, initiate intimacy. Initiate intimacy. We could spend a whole session on this. I think it's a great topic too. Probably something we don't talk about enough in Christian circles with women. But all I can say is that men love it when their wives initiate any gesture of physical love. They love that. So become a student of your husband. Ask him what pleases him. Be generous in your attention to him. 1 Corinthians 7:2 through 5. And we really want to assure our husbands in this area because many times they feel inadequate. So encourage your husband and initiate, when you can, intimacy. He may struggle with some fear in this issue. And it's a very vulnerable area for our men. We can do our best to encourage and build him up and even show respect in this very important part of marriage. So grow in responding physically to him. This will boost his confidence, and your enthusiastic reciprocation will assure him of your love and respect. Just a reminder, 1 Corinthians 7:3 through 5 tells us the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. So when you can, initiate intimacy. Next letter, A. Allow him to fail. We've talked a little bit about this, but allow him to fail. Don't beat him up if he does make a poor decision, and don't feel like you always have to step in to fix things. If you tend to always take over, he is going to move aside and hand that steering wheel over to you, and you're going to be in a position of leading, and you don't want that. So allow him to fail. He's human. He's a man of God, but he's going to make mistakes, even in ministry. So learn and grow together in that area. Letter T is timing. This is a way you can show appreciation to your husband. Be careful to not bring up a potentially volatile problem or conversation during finals week, the night before a big paper's due, if he's under pressure at his job, if he's sick, if he's tired, if he's hungry. So be careful of timing. And if you are in a down place yourself, I want to encourage you to not rush in to vent all those emotions to him when he first walks in the door. Give him a little bit of time to decompress himself. Practice some self-control, which is really Holy Spirit control. Take things to the Lord first. Ask for wisdom to know what needs to be shared with your husband. Give him a little bit of time to get acclimated to being back home. And as always, tell the Lord everything. Pray and seek the peace of God first. Our next I is invest in your man. Invest in your man. Become a student of his interests, and if you can, participate. This shows a lot of respect when you participate in something that's important to him. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I have a precious daughter in love who is not really a big fan of college football. She married my son who, like, is crazy about college football. And it can be like she might feel like a widow during college football season because he's always watching the games. And it was an issue they had to work through. And she came up with a brilliant solution, I think. She still hates college football. But she'll go in for the fourth quarter and bring in a project and just sit next to her husband. I won't say what son and daughter-in-law it is. But she'll work on a project. She'll just be near him. She could care less about the game. But just the fact that she's there next to him means a lot to him. So she's learning to show an interest in what he's interested in just by being in the same room. In our marriage, my Ray loves to go kayaking every summer. Kayaking's nice, but it's not the top on my list of things to do. However, I love to go to St. Louis Cardinals baseball games, and Ray's not crazy about that. So we've worked out a system in our marriage where I go kayaking with him once a summer, and then he goes to a baseball game with me. And it just makes for a good, happy marriage. I'm just saying. But learn something that really is of interest to your husband and see if you can participate to some small extent. It shows appreciation to him. Letter O. Oh, this is an important one. Overlook a lot. Just overlook a lot, ladies. If we're tempted to unload a criticism again, maybe bite your tongue, we don't want to mess up his spirit. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. So overlook as much as you can, because I guarantee you they are overlooking things in your life as well. N, never demean your man. Never demean your man. This could be public or private. And why do we value him, appreciate him, and respect him? Go back to the very beginning, because he's made in the image of God. Protect his name, honor him. Honor how you speak about him to others, to family and friends. Speak highly of him. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, and she who shames him is like rottenness to his bones. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is more to be desired than great wealth. And that's a good verse to hang on to when you go into the ministry. You're not going to face great wealth. You won't have that temptation. But a good name is more to be desired than that. So ask the Lord to help you grow in these areas of respect and appreciation. And I do pray in the days ahead, you might look at your notes and highlight, here are a couple of things I can do with the Lord's help to grow in my respect quotient. If you notice, so much of this is the fruit of our words. And the words reflect our hearts, and that heart is influenced by our thought life. So ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. What are some areas of application you might be able to take home with you tonight? What are some areas of change? And I know this was a lot to take in. I know it's a lot of practical thoughts. So some thoughts you may just want to throw out the window if they don't apply to you. But if there's one or two thoughts you can take and start living them out, I guarantee you, your husband will feel appreciated and respected. So some of you have probably peeked at that quiz on your table. In a little bit, I'm going to pray for you. This is a handout from Martha Peace, who wrote The Excellent Wife. And it's a good quiz just to get a little bit more specific, and you can evaluate. And if you're really brave and want to talk about it with the ladies at your table, go for it. But it's primarily there for you to pinpoint, here's some areas the Lord wants me to change and grow in. So let me close our time in prayer, and then you can have your small group time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening, for these precious young ladies that are here tonight, seeking to honor you in their homes, in their ministries, and all their relationships, Father. I know this is an exciting time in their life, a time where you are working in their hearts to build their faith and trust in you. You're stretching their time in marriages, and there are lots of challenges that they face at the same time. So I just pray that you would help these women to be the godly helpers I know you want to make them to be, so they can love their husbands, that they can grow in respect, and to start perhaps showing a little bit more appreciation for our men who do so much, Lord. They do so much. So we're grateful for the men you've given to us, the special bond that we share as husband and wife. And I pray that you use this quiz, Lord, just to help each of us see prayerfully, where can we grow in this area, Lord? Where can we grow in our respect and appreciation so that you would be honored and glorified? We thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.